Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I just whipped your ass. You take it all away. I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by, unfortunately, no one. I think Craig is off for the night, and it's going to be me and Couture, and apparently Couture is running late and didn't let me know, and right now I am the only one on the air, and I'm currently getting messages and being bugged by that bastard, Rodney. So hopefully Couture will call in here pretty soon. I was hoping to have Cherry Brown on the show. She wanted to be on and talk SummerSlam, but unfortunately she got called into a big gig and can't be on the show. And I guess we will wait patiently for Couture here. Anyway, we're mainly going to be talking about SummerSlam, talking about some Raw. And I will be watching the Shine iPay-per-view live, so I'll probably be talking about that. And you know, like I say, I'm still waiting for this fool to call in, so hopefully he'll be in here soon. Until he gets here, I thought SummerSlam was a hell of a show. I highly, highly enjoyed it. Apparently, there are problems with people's streams. I'm not going to say mine was perfect. There were like a few times where it froze for like 2 or 3 seconds, but just a few times and started right back up, and everything else as far as came out pretty good. I mean, it didn't like screw up anything for me. So I got nothing but good things to say about the stream working for me. So, you know, it was that was cool. And I ended up calling in to work that night. And watched SummerSlam, and had a whole shitload of pizza, and you know, like I say, I highly enjoyed it, and I don't even have a freaking mess list in front of me to start talking about until Couture gets here. But Raw was also an awesome show, and to me, the story of SummerSlam, besides Brock's Nash. Was basically Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose, by far, the MVP of the show. And he did a really, really good job as far as that goes. So, you know, hopefully when he comes back from his movie, he will be doing a lot of cool shit. So, you know, hopefully they'll realize how over he's getting, because right now, I think the fans have really taken to him, and, you know, I think, honestly, I think he's the next big star over Roman Reigns, but, of course, we all know Roman Reigns is going to get the big push for now, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully we can get two big stars and not just one. I am currently texting Katrair. Where are you? Oh, face you. That's not how you spell it. Okay, there you go. And, yeah, hopefully Katrair will call in here pretty soon. Hopefully he'll get that text. And, we can get the show going here. IPPU hasn't even started yet. They're still showing promos, and they do some cool little funny promos leading up to their iPay-per-view that are pretty cool. So, basically, I guess I need to find Mia. Oh, here he is. So, running a little late today?
Yeah, sorry. I got held up at Sony, so I apologize. And you didn't have my phone on me.
You didn't have your phone on you. How do you not have your phone on you in this day and age? It's like a necessity. Mine's practically glued to my hand.
Because when I go to town, when I come back, I want to see if I'm surprised by who's called. I don't have an accident while I'm driving and people call me.
I guess we're mainly going to talk about SummerSlam. How did you enjoy SummerSlam?
I thought it was the second best show this year.
The second? What would you put as the first best show? WrestleMania?
Yeah,
it's.
WrestleMania was a little bit more satisfying, I think.
Yeah. I was thinking like when I was watching it that, yeah, this might be the best show, but then when you really think about it, WrestleMania was the overall better show. But yeah, SummerSlam, compared to everything else that they've put out this year, has been the best thing that they've done. I mean, it was really, really awesome. I thought every match nothing was bad on it. I mean, I wasn't too into the Miz Ziggler match. I thought it was good. I thought, I guess, do you have a list of all the matches?
I got it in my head, so let's go.
Start from the bottom and go up. So
I'll look it up as we do the first match, okay?
Okay.
Okay,
I was going to say it's Ziggler and The Miz, and I figured The Miz was going to retain because he has been kind of been given somewhat of a little push, and he's actually doing pretty awesome with it. I guess they've been pushing Ziggler. He's actually won a couple matches. It was a decent match, and Ziggler ends up pulling the upset, in my mind, and winning the title. And I guess, supposedly, the rumors is that the reason he lost the title is because Batista is going to come back and feud with Miz over who's the real movie star of the company, and you can't have Batista fighting for the Intercontinental Championship, so you have to kind of get it off the Miz and kind of make it just about them and not the title, because, Batista's above the Intercontinental title. That's why fucking all the titles basically don't mean anything.
Always lose non-title matches.
Yeah. So, it was a decent match. I loved Miz's robe or fucking whatever the fuck it was that he was wearing. That shit was awesome.
Would you look like a douchebag?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he and Dave can have a fashion contest on who's the biggest douchebag.
He just looks like a douchebag. Like
somebody you
want to
hit.
About him. Yeah.
I don't hate him as much as most people do. He's a good worker. I don't have the hate for him that most people do. I don't flip out when he shows up on a documentary like everybody said. What's the Miz going to say about this? Who is he to tell me about Nick fucking Bockwinkel or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Miz way more than I like Ziggler. That's for sure. And I think he's been awesome.
Ziggler's been so buried. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just getting to the point where it's like I'm just over Ziggler. You know what I mean?
I feel worse for Cesaro now than I do Ziggler.
Yeah. And speaking of, I didn't see the pre-match show, but he even lost to RVD of all people.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Maybe it's every few months they find him boring, and then they start pushing him again. I don't know what the deal is with him.
Yeah, they find him boring, and then he has some awesome matches, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's badass, and then they'll get bored of him again, and it's just like repeat. Like, rotten shirt, repeat.
I would have said, if they wouldn't have killed him so bad, I would have said he's one of those people that they could have got a pay-per-view match out of Brock with. But I don't know now.
Well, yeah, they would have gone with what everyone thought they were going to do if, you know, him being getting a push with Paul Heyman, and Heyman, of course, all the time just talking about Brock and then having him get fed up with it, and then him, you know, having a match with Brock where you could have Brock kill him instead of having to beat Cena twice, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kind of fucked up on that one.
It was the finish to this. Miz missed a kick to the chest and Ziggler hit the zigzag for the pin. That was fine.
Yeah, it was okay. I would have popped more when he hit the show. I like the part where he hit the Fangmaster and Miz just jumped up and hit his fucking the skull crushing finale. I thought that was an awesome move. I wish that would have been the finish. That would have been awesome.
I'm looking at Dave's report on this, and it's probably one of the best, like, as far as match ratings go for a show, top to bottom, in a long time for WWE, at least.
Wow. Yeah, everything was pretty good.
Everything's around, nothing's below, like, 2.5 stars, so that's pretty decent.
Well,
the next match had Paige beat AJ Lee and 4 minutes and 52 seconds to win the Divas title. This was a good match.
Yeah, this is a really good match. And I'm actually, for some reason, I thought it went longer than 4 minutes, but it was pretty good. She took that one scary bump off to, like, the corner to the floor. And I like Paige. It's just night and day when she's compared to being a heel versus a face. I mean, she's sure her mic work is terrible as a face, but when she's a heel, she's actually really good at being a little. And just the way she works, she's more like she just shows more of her personality when she's a heel and working as a heel. And awesome new finisher. I thought that was awesome. She killed AJ. It looked like she killed AJ with that fucking what would you even call it? It was a DDT, but
it was
kind of
like a cradle DDT. It looked like.
Yeah, kind of. It was like she kind of had her in a perfect DDT'd her,
almost.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I guess that's the closest explanation to it. But yeah, it looked fucking really good.
Better than that stupid leg sweep finish that she had. I don't know, I didn't like the way that looked.
Yeah, I like the submission. This now she's got two killer finishers. She's got this new DDT thing, the Rampage. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Rampage.
Yeah, the Rampage. And then she's got that fucking, the modified fucking, whatever you call it, of course, that submission. It looks like a wacky lucha submission. And that looks fucking awesome.
Was that the one that looked like a kind of like a reverse scorpion where she turns around or something like that?
Yeah, and then she grabs the head, like cross faces it.
Yeah, it looks like you can't get out of it.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll have a good little feud. They're probably the two best women that are, you know, on the show right now.
Oh, I got a call to my mom's this morning because my nephew sent her a video challenging her to the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Wait, say that again?
I said my nephew sent my mom a video this morning challenging her to the Ice Bucket Challenge.
So
I had to go over there and see them.
Those things are getting on my nerves. I mean, it's cool that they've raised they're still showing promos for this thing. It's already 14 minutes in and it still hasn't started. And, it's cool that they've raised all this money and people actually even know what ALS is. But what I don't like, if you got challenged and you didn't do it and you donated, you're awesome. If you got challenged and you did the ice thing and you still donated the $100, you're awesome. If you just donated the $10, that's fucking awesome. But there are a lot of motherfucking people, and I'm going to say at least third of them who are doing this ice bucket challenge and filming it, and they're not donating. They're just, you know, trying to be cool, they're using a charity and disease to make themselves look cool, and they, you know, look at me, and I know people are like, Ed saying, criticizing someone for being like, hey, look at me, you know, but I don't use fucking charity. I fucking have money taken out of my UPS check for the past 17 years to go straight to a charity, and I'm one of the highest donators as far as the actual dollar amount, but I've never brought that up until, like, right now. You know, I don't need to get on camera and fucking and brag about it. That's not what charity is about, in my opinion. But, you know, if you're donating, that's cool. The ones that don't, like, I got two fat ass fucking friends. I saw their video. I know for a fact they ain't gonna fucking donate. I know one for a fact there's no way in hell one of them would even give a fucking dollar. It's just not his fucking thing, you know. But they still did the video and trying to be cool. And it's just like, God, that part of it just drives me fucking up a wall. With that said, I did see an awesome one with Rodney. Rodney did one today that was actually pretty cool. I enjoyed watching Rodney suffering from having ice water dumped on him.
I like seeing those, you know, like the Vince McMahon and Triple H's do stuff like that.
I like my dear friend Trina Michaels one where she could have poked her eye out after she did. Or Longoria had one that was pretty hot. And then there was this one of my high school crushes. She did it, and goddamn, did she look fucking good. It brought back memories of why I fell in love with her in the first place.
I was just, when my mom sent me this video of my nephew, I said, oh, fuck, he shouldn't say my name. I don't want to go do this, you know?
Right,
not that I wouldn't donate something. I just don't want to pour a bunk of water, ice water on my head.
Well, you don't have to pour the water. You can just donate.
Well, I don't want to do that either. I'm not big on the charity thing. No offense to anybody that is. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the main charities are, I don't want to say scams, but, you know, they don't look at the Susan Coleman thing. You know, everyone thinks that's like the greatest charity in the world. And it isn't.
So don't,
you know,
don't challenge,
I mean,
Lance Storm or anybody. Don't challenge Lance Storm,
yeah.
Paul Azenby.
Yeah. Especially Paul Azenby. I mean, don't even bring it up with Paul Azenby. But, you know, I mean, there's been, like, 2020 shit about the Susan G. Coleman stuff. I mean, the people
mm-hmm.
who run that organization live the motherfucking high life. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's just, you know, the money you think they go into charity isn't actually going to charity. Most of it's going to having, you know, people's pockets, unfortunately. And that's unfortunately with a lot of charities. I'm not saying that some of it doesn't get there and there's not some good, and, you know, it's good to bring awareness and whatever, but, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, I just, charities, I donate every week, but, you know what I mean? Overall, it's just like, I don't know, it's just like, it's good in some ways, but then in some ways there's some bad in it, and it's like, you know, it's hard to
determine. I'd rather donate to something that somebody's going to get something immediately out of.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, like kids or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. But
anyway.
We can go back. Yeah.
The next match was Rusev v. Jack Swagger in 8:54 in a flag match. This is probably the best flag match I've ever seen.
I don't know. I'm sure I've seen some better ones in the mid to early 80s and stuff. But I will say that Lana looked absolutely fucking incredible. Yeah. I mean, not that she doesn't do that all the time, but my gosh, she looks fucking fantastic. In that outfit and color. And it was a good match. It kind of sucked because you didn't know what the fuck, how the match was going to end until it actually ended, because they never actually said what the rules were, even basically until there was like a final pin,
mm-hmm.
basically. And but the match was good. I thought Swagger was good. Rusev is really awesome selling his injured foot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, you know, when he stomps and then he has to sell the foot because his foot's hurt and he shouldn't have stomped to do with it. And then, like, when he couldn't put the Accolade, is that what it's called?
Accolade.
Yeah, basically it's a cannibal clutch. So he has to do it like kind of one-legged the first time, and then the second time he's back basically in tears putting it on when he finally, and then it was an awesome finish because the camera was in the perfect position, and Rusev had his hands in the perfect position to where you could see the majority of Swagger's face, and you could see the pain he's in. You see him trying to fight it, and then you see him go out. That was actually really, really good. I like that, how that went off. And
I wonder if Lex Luger, if this was Lex Luger's finisher, he would call it the Allocate.
Oh, what?
He would call the move the Allocate, because whenever he would do promos in the 80s, and he would talk about his list of accolades, like his achievements, he would say, I got a long list of allocates. Every fucking interview said that.
Right.
For like 20 years.
Yeah, he did have a weird kind of, what the fuck was his accent? Where was he from? He did, because he did have like a, he did pronounce some things kind of weird.
I don't know. All I know is always pointed his finger with his thumb sticking out.
Cool. And if it's the end of if it's the end of Zeb, because since he wasn't
be very
all this week, he was very sad. But that was a shitty light ass kick to take out Zeb forever. You know what I mean? If they were gonna kill him, I'll take him off TV. They should have killed him. I'm sure he could have take a few things, a splash or two or something.
I figure either he's gone or maybe he's coming back, like as a heel or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like Brian was saying, I can kind of see him in the opinion with Russo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And get the heat from the American who decided that Putin's the way to go. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. It's so weird that this anti-American, anti-Russian stuff in, like, 2014. It's like 1985, and you're wrestling Nikita Koloff or somebody.
And this now you're in Russian.
Yeah,
Lana's Russian, but, you know, he's what, Bulgarian?
Something like that, I don't know.
The Bulgarian brute?
Something like that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't pay attention to the news, so I don't know who we're supposed to hate. So, you know.
Well, it seems like we're supposed to hate everybody, including fucking the police.
The cops in Missouri. Yeah. Somebody like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know anything was going on in Missouri until I read like MVP was going to Missouri for some reason. But why is he going to Missouri? I didn't know what was going on. I don't pay attention.
Yeah.
I watch too much stuff on video on demand or stuff. I'm out of the news. I'm out of the loop on stuff all the time. You know?
Well, yeah. The news nowadays just sucks. I mean, there's nothing. It seems like there's almost nothing good going on. But anyway, that's besides
the point. The only thing I would watch the news for is to get my weather, and I can just pop a app on my phone or something, you know, to see what the weather's going to do. So, news doesn't do much for me anymore.
Basically, the only time I really kind of like watching newscasts is to watch the sports during the Spurs season, you know, during the NBA playoffs. And
really, the only time I watch TV now is just to watch Raw. I mean, like, just like on Direct TV, just like my regular programs. I mean, that's especially the summertime. That's about all I watch anyway. It's just Raw because everything else is off. I just usually watch Netflix or something like that. So
yeah,
I get more into the binge viewing on like Netflix and stuff like that. You know,
the only things I watch on TV besides wrestling are Modern Family, The Goldbergs, Sons of Anarchy, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to start watching Archer when it comes back live. I mean, I did interview that one. And that's about it, really, as far as shit that I watch on TV. I mean, I'll watch some stuff on the internet, but, yeah, I mean, I was like, used to be the biggest couch potato where I just sat there with my remote control for hours and hours and never fucking did anything else. But now it's like I hardly ever watch TV now.
And I was like, a lot of people get rid of their cable. You don't hardly need it anymore.
Yeah.
With everything else. Or either I'll watch, like, if I want to watch, like, pay-per-view movies or stuff, I'll go on, like, Xbox or something. Because they sometimes get them early. Like, I watched like a couple of weeks ago, I watched Spider-Man 2, and I watched this week, I watched like Captain America. So.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Did you see Spider-Man 2?
The what?
Did you see Spider-Man 2?
I haven't even seen the first one, though, the second.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, I like the cast from the original ones. I kind of wasn't into restarting the whole thing. I hate when they restart shit when they can still do more with what they had before.
And I didn't understand why they just rebooted it in the middle of what was already the reboot.
And then, like, from what they show from the commercials, it's not the real Spider-Man. From the commercials that I've seen, Spider-Man's happy to be, he's happy he's Spider-Man. Spider-Man's never fucking happy being Spider-Man. This is the biggest burden in the fucking world to him. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of, I probably will end up watching him, but I don't know, I just wasn't into the whole reboot thing.
Yeah. Captain America.
They're finally
going to
have.
They actually
started, and they had a little ceremony for like their former champion who had got really fucked up in a car wreck and gave her a belt. But the first match is finally about to start here. They're going to have a four-way with Awesome Kong, who looks like she for a while she was trying to make herself look like really pretty, but she's gone back to like the she still like has lost the weight, but she's gone back to looking more like the monster Awesome Kong. And she's wrestling in a four-way against her and Avaya, Sue Young, and Leah Von Dutch, who I thought I had heard something about her getting signed, but I guess not, because that was a while back. But she's a cute little blonde.
Are you watching the Shine pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Daphne's got some, like, weird blue, glowing, sparkly, lit-up fucking Medusa-looking thing on her head. Man, I listened to the Diva Diaries of Daphne.
Mhm.
It was like a 3-hour fucking thing, and it was actually pretty awesome. I mean, she actually had some cool shit to talk about.
Well, she's been in TNA. She ripped them apart.
No, she can't, because she can't talk bad about TNA.
Oh, was that like a settlement from when she sued him?
Yeah, I mean, she talked about it, but she didn't bury them. She talks about it, but she didn't bury them. She does bury the fuck out of Eric Bischoff. She had nothing good to say about Eric Bischoff.
I saw something that she did where she was on the road and she was going to one of those little pay-per-views they were doing for the women and showing up in the crowd or something.
Yeah, that was, like, right after the settlement. They had, it was the first all-women's, like, TNA pay-per-view.
Those small ones when they got rid of the regular pay-per-views and had all those other pay-per-views.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a live pay-per-view. It was, like, one of those one-night stand thing kind of thing. Anyway, she sat right in the middle where the hard camera was so you could see her. And she had, like, a sign for every girl, like supporting every girl, but then during the main event, she had a sign that said, she stood up and she said, I'm here independently. And I think her thing was trying to prove that she was an independent, that, you know what I mean? She's trying to say that she wasn't an independent, you know, the whole, it's kind of complicated, but that's what her point was. And it was funny, because she said she went with this other wrestler, her name is Amber O'Neill, she just married Doc Gallows, and they were sitting together, and before she stood up with that final poster, she's like, you might want to scoot away, because I guess she knew she was going to get, she didn't want to get the heat on the girl, because she knew she'd, you know, people were going to notice and make a big deal about it, but they talked about
it. What happened to her? Didn't she, like, break her neck when some trainee landed wrong on her in a match they put her in or something?
It was, they were bringing this big fat girl.
Rosie Lottelove?
Something
like
that. Something like that. It was one of Bubba's students. It was the girl that trained at the same time Leva Bates did when she went to the Dudley's thing, and they had a match, and she basically fucked her neck up pretty bad, And then there were maybe, and then Daphne also had like a concussion problems, like having multiple concussions. That didn't help.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, so Kyle Vallis fucking just walked out and looks like she's taking, she looks like a younger, hotter version of Alexandria York taking notes in a business suit and computer pad.
Hmm.
But, what the fuck was I saying? We were talking about Daphne, but I forgot what we were talking about.
Something about when we when she got hurt or whatever by the trainee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she was, it was, yeah, by one of Bubba's in-and-outs. Apparently, they said Bubba got mad at her. I guess blamed her or whatever, even though it was his that love, that one lady's fault. But, yeah, that's what basically ended her career. She, basically, now all she can do is just, like, MC the pay-per-views or manage. She can't really do anything anymore at all.
Mm. Which sounds like something like Chris Nowinski had or something, you know.
Yeah, like kind of. She's,
syndrome
she takes
something.
Those tests that Lance Storm takes, and I guess her brain's going to the organization when she dies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty.
Anyway,
it was, yeah. But anyway, we'll get back to the SummerSlam here.
The next match was Seth Rollins beat Dean Ambrose in a lumberjack match in 10 minutes and 50 seconds. This is probably the best match I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was gonna say you had mentioned that about the flag match. Well, this definitely was the greatest lumberjack match in the history of pro wrestling. I mean, this shit was awesome, and it was so out of control to the point where they just fucked the ring. They just went and started fighting way in the crowd in the stand, and everyone's just standing there like, they're standing there like, what the fuck? And it finally came as it come out and start yelling at everybody to go get them. Shit. I thought that was awesome. But it was a, Dean Ambrose had a hell of a fucking two nights, man. That's all I can say. He was like the MVP of the weekend.
I think he's going to be the guy very soon, maybe in a year or two.
Yeah, he it's like it's the closest thing to seeing like a Steve Austin, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he's only going to get better.
CM Punk or something, like a CM Punk when he was breaking out.
I think he'll be better than CM Punk, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he just does everything. Every little fucking movement means something. I mean, he's just so good and just making you notice him and just telling the story. I mean, I don't even know how long I laughed after he fucking did that one fucking charity line and fucking hit. And then the way he hit him in the face with a bucket. That was crazy.
And he was the one that I was worried he was going to get lost in the shuffle, you know, when they split up. But he's actually standing out more than anybody.
Yeah, he's just so good that he's going to get overcome that, you know what I mean? Like, he's like Daniel Bryan, you know? Look at all the shit they did to Daniel Bryan, but he just overcame it because he was just so good. And that's what Dean Ambrose is.
And I don't know what some people, like, on the board were, like, talking about he's been buried and stuff. I don't know what show they've been watching. But he's been pushed pretty hard for, like, ever since they broke up.
Yeah, I mean, just because he's not winning
the
matches doesn't mean he's not getting the push. He's in the main matches. He's getting plenty of time, you know, and they're giving him, he is shining, you know.
I mean, this has been, like, the best program they've had, of, like, that and Stephanie and Brie Bella for, like, the last 2-3 months, really, if you think about it.
Well, and the Rusev one was pretty good, but now that one's over, unfortunately.
Now he's off making a movie, which I'd actually like to see him in a movie. In one of those WWE movies, so I think it'd be pretty good too.
I'm excited.
Did you watch the documentary on the Shield?
I've only seen half of it so far.
I thought it was pretty damn awesome. Like you want to actually care about all these guys.
I liked how they, you know, they put over ROH and they put over Dragon's Gate and you know just. Other, like, even CZW, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They actually brought up CZW, you know what I mean? And then had you know, Les on there, and even that jerk-off Gabe, you know, and you know, it was real cool. They, you know, Roman's college coach, you know, it was good. I enjoyed it. I just kind of ran out of time, had to go to work yesterday when I was watching it, but I'll probably watch it later tonight or in the morning. But yeah, it was really, really good. I thought that was really cool how open they were talking about Rollins, you know, almost getting his ass fired, you know, for being.
Yeah,
you know,
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I had heard that he had, like, you know, he was pretty confident in himself, and, you know, it's good for wrestlers to be that confident because they're the ones that end up succeeding, but it's like you do have to learn how to fucking network, basically, you know what I mean? And you have to bow down to people in the WWE. You know, it's not ROH, it's not Dragon's Gate. You can't just quit and go somewhere else or do something. You have to make your bosses happy. It doesn't matter how fucking good you are, if your bosses don't like you, you know what I mean? So it's cool that he got his act together and, you know, and now, you know, now look at him, he's got like a good position, he's doing badass, but like I say, you know, you toe the line, you know, basically.
Yeah, you got to conform to what they're doing there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only every own, like, I don't know, 10 years there'd be a CM Punk where they'd let you go out there and say what you want to say.
Yeah. But I'm hoping they'll realize how good Dean is with scripted lines and start letting him do his own thing. I think when he starts to do that, when they give mm-hmm. him a little more freedom, he'll really, really start to get over. Because as good as he is and his matches have been, his like they said on the thing, it's his promo work that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a good match, and they had an even better match the next night. So.
Yeah, I thought both matches were awesome. You know, but yeah, the Raw match, that was fucking fantastic. And I don't know why everyone's criticizing the fucking cinder blocks. I was listening to the Stone Cold interview today, and they were talking about Foley and Owen Hart when they were fucking selling fucking popcorn.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The cinder blocks,
well,
you know, I grew up watching those things on ESPN late night with the karate dudes. You know, karate mm-hmm. chopping the cinder blocks and breaking them. That's why the 12 to 6 elbow is banned in mixed martial arts because you can break cinder blocks with it. It's not a thing to break cinder blocks. Speaking of breaking mm-hmm. shit, do you remember Tiger Chung Lee?
Chung, yeah.
And he would break bricks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And one time they were going to have him, it was like Prime Time or one of those shows where he's trying to break bricks. But there's two, TNT, there's two kind of bricks. Like there's two kind of tables. You know, there's the full wood table or there's the sod table. And they use the sod table because it breaks easier. The real table, that's like what fucked up Finley. But there's two kinds of brick. There's a brick that'll break and a brick that won't, and they got the wrong brick, and Tiger Kung Lee is fucking hitting this brick and he can't break it, and they were like waiting for him to break it, but he just can't break it. It was fucking hilarious, man.
I remember it was on TNT, but the first time I ever saw it was on, I got the tape, this was like in the mid-80s, I'd rented when they first started having the wrestling tapes, I rented Bloopers, Bleeps, and Body Slams from the video store, and it was on there.
That.
And Gorilla Monsoon was the one that had to go buy the bricks, and he bought the ones with the steel, like, that are embedded, like, in the middle of the bricks. So he's sitting there trying to put these bricks, and he's just, like, nicking these bricks, like, on the sides, or kind of breaking a little bit, but he can't do anything in the middle, and he just keeps on punching and punching and punching. He can't break these fucking bricks.
Oh, that was fucking hilarious. just had a winner. Novaya just won the four-way and has earned a title shot against Eva Lise for later in the show. And now they're bringing in some chick I've never seen before, something Jameson, and got a nice ass, that's for damn sure. Anyway, we'll go back to what's the next match?
Next match was Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho, 12 minutes, 56 seconds. This was a good match.
It wasn't
much to it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have every match fucking be that great. And Chris Jericho, he's still good, but you can see he's kind of slowed down on this run. He's not pulling out the matches like he used to. I mean, he's gotten older, you know. He doesn't do the full time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was much better than the one from last year, or the last one.
Yeah,
which was I thought was still good, but it was much better, and it was good, and it was you know, Wyatt got the win, and I guess somebody didn't show up because they just brought out another girl instead of the one I was supposed to be tagging with, this one I've never seen before. But anyway, they both got some booties on them. That's for damn sure. And they're wrestling one of my new buddies, Sobo Darling, who I got to hang out with a few weeks ago at that one show and then have dinner with. And then she's teaming with Heidi Lovelace, who's actually pretty good. She wrestles like men a lot in like Chikara and other places up north. She's actually pretty good. It's kind of a weird team because you got like a one serious badass wrestler, and then you got Solo, who's like almost all comedy. And Solo's, goddamn, she is like, she has a face that could get hired for WWE. She's just absolutely stunning. Of course, she's only like about 4 foot tall, and she's the size of a hobbit. But she's a beautiful looking hobbit, that's for sure. But and then they got Daphne, so we'll see. I don't know the other two girls. So I don't know how good the match would be, but we'll see here. But anyway, we'll go back to SummerSlam.
I wanted to for just a second. I love the opening video package because I'm a fan of those Machete films. It was like something right out of that. And I know you've seen this. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Then we had Stephanie McMahon pin Brie Bella in 11 minutes and 6 seconds. This was a good match.
Yeah, it was a great match, actually. Stephanie, I guess she found some of China's old wrestling gear and put it on.
I thought she... Triple H must have kept some stuff from like 10 years ago or something. 10, 15 years ago.
But yeah, she looked great. It's funny though, because like I don't know who brought up, but you know, she's got the big giant breasts, but since she works out so much, she has an ass, but she doesn't have an ass like she really should. So it was kind of weird. It's like the front didn't match the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She looked great. Brie looked great, and they had an awesome worked out match, and they're doing Three Stooges spots in this match. That's always a win. But it was awesome. Everything, you know, was I fucking laughed my ass off when Stephanie did the four horsemen thing. She's a four horseman, the four horsewoman. But they didn't show them, and I'm like, I guess I was like, man, they're under order not to show them. But then she's fucking doing the sign to them and stuff. But then they ended up showing them. When Brie came out, and I've seen videos. I think they stayed for like the whole show, and were marking out like the
and they did the she did the ice bucket challenge, and they dumped the water on her in a video they aired afterwards, like on the website.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I heard that was pretty funny. I haven't seen that one since. Excuse me.
I just keep saying that name, the Four Horsewomen. It sounds stupid.
Yeah, they're just four chicks that watch wrestling, and they're kind of like the four horsemen. You got the fucking world champion, And then
it didn't roll off the tongue.
You
like
have
before.
her like bodyguard, you know, basically, and then you got two other people. Well, I guess in that like four, and because two of them are jobbers, but
yeah,
I think it's pretty cool. I've seen some videos where they're actually doing pro wrestling in the ring when they're training.
I saw some pictures of backstage there with Brock and Paul Heyman. They had Paul Heyman girl shirts on. I'm a Paul Heyman girl.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
I know what the finish was going to be when Nikki came out. I think like everybody else did. So.
Yeah. I mean, I was almost expecting this the Raw before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that,
I think it doesn't make sense. It kind of made sense to me because Nikki's had the shit beat at her for like ever since she quit, pre-quit. So I kind of see where she'd be pissed off about it.
And if you watch Total Divas, they don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they fight. I mean, yeah, they're always huggy-huggy and kissy at the end, but they always have issues. And a lot of it's jealousy issues. Nikki's just jealous of Brie. You know, getting, goddamn, SoCal Val looks fucking incredible, dude. It's all jealousy. So, I mean, to me, it makes perfect sense. And I love the spot where she drop-kicked Triple H and then stood over him and stuff. That was awesome. And then when they were doing the thing where Stephanie's trying to get away and she backs into Nikki and then she turns and then backs into Brie, that was an awesome visual. I don't know, maybe it was because I knew the turn was coming, so I was anticipating it more, but I'm like, okay, here we go, and then boom, there it was. And, you know, Stephanie's not going to wrestle every week, so at least it continues the feud, so you can have, Brie and Nikki start doing matches. And maybe down the line when Brian comes back, you can work at something between them, then you can have matches between him and Tina, you know.
Yeah.
Program between them because, you know, their bitches are crazy and they're fighting and they got involved, you know, they get stuck, because of it.
Brie could have just texted her LOL after the main event to get revenge.
Yeah. Did you see I didn't see the pre-show, but I watched like the posting and they showed like a thing where they're walking together and Nikki gets a text and she's like, she says she's got to tell Brie, but then Brie gets a call from like the Brian's doctor or something, and she kind of takes off, and then you see Nikki just kind of like, God damn it, and then she goes and knocks on the door of the authority, you know, and then that was like how that part ends. So they basically told you what was happening on the pre-show, but yeah, it was, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. It was a really great laid-out match, and Stephanie was great. Brie was good. So, yeah, it was awesome.
As far as, like, non-performers, you know, like, out of the ring, like, to me, it's between, like, Stephanie and Paul Heyman for, like, the best one this year. I prefer the Paul Heyman stuff more, you know.
Yeah. She's been awesome. I mean, she does all the little things. You know, every little thing she does is just fucking awesome. I mean, she's really growing into her character. I mean,
she's like a real heel.
Yeah.
Something bad happened to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when she slapped Brie that one time, I said, they have to arrest her. This is like the perfect angle to arrest her, you know, so.
Yeah.
Mm. The next match was Roman Reigns pinned Randy Orton in 16 minutes and 14 seconds. This was another very good match.
It was a good match. I thought Randy was really good. Randy carried it, but Roman was good. But it was a good match. You basically knew what was happening. It was basically a showcase for Roman to win. And that's basically what happened. And he got to hit all his big spots. And, it was a really good match. It's funny because they kind of gave it the spot where they would usually give the women the match because, you know, they had it right after a big angle and it's right before the main event.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a weird placement for it, but people were still into it. They got more into it toward the end, but it was a really good match.
Yeah, I thought the best spot was when he went for the spear and Orton used that quick power slam on him. He always does that at the corner.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was the best part of the match.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like Reigns, but it seems something's missing with him. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. He's got, like,
he's good. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad or anything.
He hasn't, because he's still new to the business, he hasn't figured it out yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't, like Austin was talking about on the interview, where, like, after a couple years, he's like, okay, I got this. But then after a few more years, he's like, okay, now I got it. And then it's like a few more years, he's like, now I got it. Roman hasn't, I don't think he's got it yet. You know what I mean?
He still looks like Shield guy Roman Reigns. He still got the same gear on and stuff like that. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, because those two kind of changed the way they look when they, you know, when they went singles. He still kind of looks like the same guy, like from the tag team. I don't know what he is. It's one of those things.
He's just missing that one little thing, but. I mean, he'll get it. I mean, obviously.
I think one of the things is, like, he was like the big guy, the heel, like, for so long, and now he's just, like, he's the same size as everybody else that he's wrestling. I don't know. He's not, like, the big guy anymore.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, Randy Orton looks bigger than him.
Yeah, but he'll eventually get that one thing he's missing, but you know, he's doing everything. I mean, right so far. I mean, he's doing a good job. He's looking good, and they're booking him right, and the fans are reacting to him. So I mean, you know,
I just hope they get enough chance to hold off on for him, like wrestling Brock until like next year. Yeah, I think it'd be a mistake to do it now.
Yeah. WrestleMania at the earliest, you know, and maybe not even then. Maybe they should wait longer, but I'm pretty sure it'll be WrestleMania. And I'm getting very distracted here because Solo Darling just looks incredible. Jesus Christ, this woman's hot.
He came off great on that documentary. Made me like him a lot more.
Yeah, he was good on it from what I saw.
Mm-hmm. If we had Brock Lesnar pin John Cena in 1605 to win a WWE title, I thought this was – it's hard for me to rate this match because it wasn't like your normal match, but it was a great – but to me, it was like a match of the year in a way. I don't know.
In one way, it wasn't exciting at all, but in another way, you couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it wasn't – there was maybe, what, one, maybe two hope spots that lasted less than 30 seconds. You know, basically the whole 98% of this match was Brock just fucking killing John and just fucking German after German after German. I mean, it was just like, you got to give it to Cena. He must really, really like Brock Lesnar because first match, he let him fucking bust him open legit. For real, to start the match, and now he's letting him fucking throw him on the back of his neck fucking 16 times throughout the match. So it's like, he must really like Brock, because you don't see Cena doing that for too many people.
And so we've also seen him not the type, he doesn't come off as the type that's going to like refuse to do anything.
Yeah. Which
he'll do whatever he's asked to do, you know. You never hear anything like that about him, like him not wanting to do stuff. So.
But yeah, it was like it made Brock look like a monster. You know what I mean? It's so funny because some people were so bitching about Brock. It's like, how can he bitch about Brock beating the Undertaker? Is Brock fucking Lesnar? It's the former UFC heavyweight champion of the world. It's fucking one of the.
And this was like the perfect follow up to that.
Yeah.
I mean, he just destroyed this man. I don't care about the Undertaker fucking streak. God, it's. I don't know why people are complaining about that. This was like the perfect follow up to beating the Undertaker streak. You just destroyed John Cena and beat him for the title. I mean. I see Dave had this match of 4.25 stars. You know, I think if the crowd would have got behind Cena a little bit more, I think this would have been a 5-star match.
Yeah, and I mean it was 5 stars in a different way, but yeah, it was it was just, you know, it just, you couldn't stop watching it. It was just so like, wow, it was so different. And my buddy Sol Darling and Heidi Lovely just won their match, so that was pretty cool.
You look at this year, and Brock's been like two, would have probably be like two more famous WWE matches of all time this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the Undertaker, obviously, and obviously this match is like one of the most, going to be one of the most memorable. I mean, you've never seen a match like this before, this main event. At least not one go that long, and we just destroyed the guy.
It was a 16-minute squash match, basically.
Yeah. And if they would, I will go back and say, if they would have done this in his first match, built him from there, I don't know where he would have been today, you know, in the first match when he faced John Cena in that first match. Although, after coming off of that first match, you know, that was like the year Cena said, well, this was after he lost to The Rock, and he said, this was like the worst year of my life. I lost to The Rock, and I got divorced and stuff. If he had actually lost to Brock Lesnar in this way, I would actually believe it like the worst year of his life. So.
Right. I was going to say, this is how, the way the match went this Sunday, this is how the fucking Brock CM Punk match should have gone. It almost makes me look how stupid that booking was of their match, because no fucking way fucking CM Punk should have fucking dominated the match the way he did when Brock coming out of here and killing Cena. I mean, it just makes me shake my head thinking back about how that match was worked out and shit. That was probably even stupider than him losing the fucking Cena the first time, or even Triple H.
And I don't think Cena's going to win next month. I don't see it happening. It may be a little bit more of a match with John Cena getting a little bit more in, but I don't think Brock's going to lose.
Yeah.
Like it's like the perfect setup for John Cena to come back and beat him like at WrestleMania or something next year, doesn't it?
Yeah. But there'll probably be Brock and Reigns, but it would actually work with Cena, because it would be like you know, you're telling the story, he's the guy he couldn't beat, and finally he beat, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This match did such a great job. I just hate the thought that they would kill it off like after a month, you know, just undo the whole thing. It just wouldn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So it's like having everybody and grandmama bitch about it.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a woman's wrestler named Thunder Kitty?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. She just looks older than she is, but she's kind of like, I don't want to say heavyset, but she's not, you know, she basically, her gimmick is she's a throwback to like from Moolah and Mae Young were in their prime. Like,
so that would be like 1935.
Yeah, like she's got like her hair kind of back in like an old school style. She's got like a robe on. She's just got like wrestling boots and like kind of an old kind of something like Moolah would wear back in the day. And that's like her, she wrestles. So that's like she's like a throwback gimmick. She's actually pretty cool. And she looks just like the way she's built like those women. You know what I mean?
I think the best looking photo of Moolah I ever saw was like maybe a black and white photo when she was Slave Girl Moolah when she first started.
Yeah, I think I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Oh, God.
They had and then Thunder Kitty is wrestling a female version of Wahoo McDaniel. Some chick came out with an Indian headgear and stuff.
Uh-oh, I didn't think you could do Indian stuff in 2014.
Well, she's a real Indian, so I guess it's okay.
Oh, okay. It's okay then.
Yeah, like, you should see this chick's Thunder Kitty's outfit. I mean, it is like, it's basically something Moolah or Mae Young would wear, you know what I mean? And then she's got, like, wrestling boots, and she's got, like, knee-high striped socks. It's actually a cool little gimmick.
Well, I've been keeping up with some other MMA news because I've been fascinated by this whole War Machine story.
That's just a crazy story, dude.
I hate to say it, but there's some people who just need to be put down, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this is one of them.
Yeah,
it could be
just,
the other MMA fighter that had his pit bull chew up his wife. Did you read that one?
Yeah, and it's funny because it's the same week that they basically,
yeah.
Like one week after the other. Like one guy, he beats his wife so bad that he trained a family dog to attack the wife, and then this bitch is so stupid she wants to go back to him, and doesn't want them to like press charges against him.
Yeah,
so. I see, as sad as it is, I see death in her future, sadly. War Machine, and it's funny because this ain't even the first time. He was in jail for beating somebody up. That's when Bellator hired him because the guy used to run Bellator was like a fucking idiot and would do anything for kind of news, even if it was bad news. But and then there was one time a couple years ago where they were at like a party or some kind of porn convention. There's just a bunch of porn people there. He beat up like 10 fucking, it was, yeah, like an after party or something. He beat up fucking 10 dudes, basically, and went crazy, you know. And then it's funny because everyone was supposedly saying that this couple had broken up like a while back. But there's pictures of them at a Bellator show not too long ago. I remember, yeah, TMZ posted one of Tracy Lee's photos, and Tracy Lee wasn't very happy about them posting her photo. But basically what happened is War Machine's dating Christy Mack, who's a famous porn star. She's pretty, but she could probably be prettier if she wasn't, because she's got like the size of her hair shaved. I don't want to say she has a mohawk, but she's like, I think, got the side shape. She's got tattoos everywhere. She's kind of like, one of those kind of chicks. So I think she'd be prettier without all that shit.
I saw a picture, and I was just convinced that, I don't know, porn stars seem to, as the years go on, they seem to get worse looking. I don't know. That was just my opinion.
Some of them.
I think they were for porn.
Yeah,
everybody looks
but
real.
Basically he showed up at her house, and she was with somebody else, and there's disputes whether he caught him in the act or not. He probably just was there, and supposedly like he hit the dude like 15 times in the face, and it wasn't just like a 1 or 2 minute beating. He like, I say it's like he would hit the dude and then, like, fucking, I guess, would argue with her and then he'd go back and hit the dude again and just, it was like a prolonged beating of the dude, kind of. It wasn't just like a quick ass kicking. He just kept going back and hitting the dude before he finally threw the dude out, and then the dude went somewhere and called the cops. And then he beat her ass. And he wasn't doing it, like, constantly. You know what I mean? He kind of like would take breaks, and one of them, that's when it allowed her to get her phone and to call 911, and she just, I guess, put it on speaker. And so between her calling, I think the neighbor's calling, and the guy calling, it still took the cops forever to get there. And he
made her take a shower, didn't he?
No, I think she took a shower after he left.
Oh, I thought he made her take a shower or something.
I'd have to read the full details, I mean, because I didn't really read the full police report, but either way, she did take a shower, but he basically busted her face in, you know, eyes swollen, nose, like 16 bones fucking broke.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
Broke some of her ribs, like punctured her liver. I mean, really did a number on her. Like, he cut some of her hair off with a dull knife and apparently was going to go get a newer knife. And was threatening to kill her, and so that's why he got the attempted murder charge. And
yeah.
Just beat her ass for, like, the longest fucking time, and then took off. So the cops finally got there, so, of course, the cops are chasing him. He's on the run. He's hiding out. And the whole time, he's fucking tweeting. He's fucking tweeting her the whole fucking time. saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I was just trying to surprise you, I love you, and just all this fucking crazy psycho shit, right? Yeah. So this is making news. So, of course, Dog the Bounty Hunter hears about it, and he's all about, hasn't been in the news for a while, so he took the perfect opportunity. So he's tweeting War Machine, saying he has in 24 hours to turn himself in, or he's going to go find him and bring him into justice. And so that
actually
goes on for like a
that.
Day.
Actually,
and then,
like
and then War Machine, his whole family is fucking crazy because his brother gets into it with Dog on Twitter to the point where he's threatening to rape Dog's fucking daughter.
Oh, God.
And shit, I don't know if you heard that part of the story, but yeah, so they're going back and forth. So then finally the cops found War Machine in a part of, part of L.A. where they actually, it's like the porn district.
Because he was doing porn movies and stuff, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, the guy who mentioned that it was a porn district, he used to direct porn movies. They caught him. They caught him with he was armed with pizza, apparently. There's a cool photo shot where they're like, they got him handcuffed, and he's like, it's from the back, and they're walking him, and he's got his hands cuffed, but he's got two pieces of pizza.
God.
And stuff. And then I guess from there they went to his residence to, look for more evidence or whatever, and that's where they found Dog the Bounty Hunter, because Dog was waiting for him to come home to catch him. And Brian keeps making like a big deal. Why would he do that? That's just stupid. That's not stupid. You got to get your shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a good shot that he's going to try and get something, or someone's going to go there for him.
Well, where else are you
going to
go, really?
Yeah, he's got like even if he doesn't go back, he's going to send someone there to get his shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not a bad plan. What else is Dog going to do? Just fucking, you know what I mean?
In the middle of town,
he
walk by.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I don't know what the fuck Brian's thinking. It's not like he has a fucking War Machine radar and knows where, War Machine is. You know what I mean?
Hey, when the cops are looking for someone, the first place they're going to go is where they live. Not strange.
Not rocket science.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that was
this dude's, he's a scary looking dude. He's fucking menace to society. Shit, he needs to be put somewhere for a long time. If not down
his
for
mentor,
good.
His mentor is Phil Baroni, who's not known to be the most stable guy.
Mm-hmm.
The dude was actually ranting. Seriously, this is actually legit. He was ranting and raving in the parking lot of one of the strip clubs, threatening to kick my ass because he read a comment that I sent Mike Sawyer, dude.
When was this?
This was 2 years ago. Yeah, that was a while back. I forgot what. It was something about him. He's so punch drunk he won't remember something. It was some funny little thing, and Mike showed him. I don't know if it was text or whatever. Mike showed him, and apparently he went crazy and was fucking running to kick my ass in the parking lot of fucking Scores or Rick's or whatever it was. But Thunder Kitty is victorious in this match, and God, her gear is fucking awesome.
Did you get to watch any of the G1 this year?
I had some computer problems when it was starting, and then now I got car problems where I passed the bar in my mom's car, so I gotta work, take the car to her, have her drop me off, and then back and forth. So I just haven't really had like an extended time. So I've only seen the first night, but the first night was fucking awesome. I got links to all the shows, so I'm going to eventually see everything. The first show I saw was pretty good. It's funny because to me, it's the older guys are the ones that steal the shows for the most part. Like Yuji Nagata and Tenzan.
Mm-hmm.
Tenzan, who looked... Remember Tenzan from WCW?
Yeah.
Okay. Last year... Because he's older and he's broken down, and he looked pathetic last year. He looked like a shell, like a shell of what he was. It was sad watching him, but he's recovered or whatever from his injuries, and he's actually looking. He looked good in the matches I saw, and Kojima looked good. I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I can't wait to watch the rest of it when I finally do have some time.
Hmm.
And now the one girl that caused half the Shimmer roster to call me names is about to wrestle. Tag team of and one her tag team partner is Tracy Smothers' daughter. So you got Tracy Smothers' daughter, Bella something, and then she's teaming with Sassy Steffi, who's she's actually really good, and she's good looking. She's a little older, but she's got like a muffin top that she needs to get rid of. And they're in this tag team called the Kimber Bombs, which is Cherry Bomb and Kimberly, and these chicks are winners. Goddamn, they're pretty good looking.
Have you seen Tully Blanchard's daughter wrestle?
The what?
Have you seen Tully Blanchard's daughter wrestle?
No, I just basically heard about her like a couple weeks ago. I think she was at that like where Lance at that seminar Lance did with like Les Thatcher at that
NWA Fan Fest a few weeks ago.
Yeah. But no, I haven't seen her yet.
She's a good looking girl.
It'd be funny like her and her and Charlotte could be a tag team in a couple years or something.
Yeah. Funny now, thing. He was raised by Maggie.
Now, if only Arn and Barry had daughters, you know, you could have the real four horsemen women.
And she was raised by Magnum, you know.
That's right. I forgot about that. So she's got,
I think they ended up marrying Tully Blanchard's ex-wife and her children, raising his kids. So.
Yeah. So she's got, like, a double pedigree.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just weird hearing these people's daughters are in wrestling. I don't know why. I guess it makes me feel old.
Yeah, and it's funny because of the players, it's the daughter that's the best of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, David was cool, but he was never a wrestler. And then Reed, you know, that's just a sad story.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he wasn't a wrestler. He was a gimmick. That he just had on TV, you know.
David or
David.
Yeah.
You know.
He was just crazy dude. Crazy dude with, you know, that's why they had Crowbar with him, so Crowbar could do all the work.
Yeah, they had Crowbar and Daphne with him. They were doing like they're doing like the Natural Born Killers gimmick or something like that, you know, where they were just all crazy. They were actually pretty deep.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed them as kind of like a team. They're pretty good. But,
Daphne
had no hope after they just threw him.
I was going to say, Daphne was awesome because she was so different compared to all the other women.
And, he didn't have any hope because he was just, like, thrown out there on TV, you know, doing no experience anything. And so he just kind of got ate up and spit out in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
The last time I saw him, remember when The Undertaker was trying to get that match with Flair and he went to OVW and beat up David?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, where Undertaker just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Do you remember those Clint Eastwood movies? The one with the monkey?
Any which way but loose?
I was reading here in the Observer. It says, Angle's got a role in a movie with Marissa Tomei and Christopher Walken shooting next month. Something of a sequel to Every Which Way But Loose. I don't know what
that
means. Is it going to
be a monkey?
I don't know.
Got to mean
I love those fucking
monkey
movies, man. I love Philo Beto and the Black Widows and,
the monkey kicking the Black Widow's asses. That was always a fucking awesome.
How has there never been a monkey gimmick, a right turn Clyde gimmick with a monkey in wrestling? That seems like perfect. Right turn Clyde.
How many
that
parties
could be,
they have? Was it two or three?
How many what?
How many parts of that movie did they have? Was there like two or three?
I think it was just Every Which Way But Loose and Which Way You Can.
Yeah. Didn't the bikers go babyface at the end of the second one?
I think they did.
Yeah.
I remember when they went through some kind of car wash or something, and he lost all their hair. I remember
yeah,
the last was the last movie was the one where He's fighting a guy with his friend, and he broke his arm, but still won the fight, or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
I need to look up those movies. I love those fucking Paulo Beto movies, and I like fucking Bronco Billy. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, Bronco Billy.
Bronco Billy.
Yeah. Yeah, Eastwood was the man back in the day.
And he had the old woman.
He was awesome.
I thought Clint Eastwood was most famous when I was younger was for those fucking Philo Beto movies.
Yeah.
I know about all this other shit, these westerns.
Some of them were pretty good. He was awesome. And are you old enough to remember Steve McQueen?
Oh, yeah. Bullet?
Yeah, he was fucking awesome, too.
Yeah.
And shit. I remember that car chase in that one movie. That was fucking badass. That was like the best car chase for like... That was the best car chase until CG was invented.
I like those fucking Dirty Harry movies. I love those. They were really violent for when I was younger.
Yeah. Did you watch the Charles Bronson movies, like his version of those?
Oh, Death Wish?
Yeah, the Death Wishes.
I love those movies.
Yeah. Those motherfuckers fucked up his daughter, goddamn. I don't blame him for going crazy.
They killed his wife and they fucked up his daughter, and then, he killed his wife in the first one and raped his daughter. And then they cut someone come back and rape his daughter again in the second one?
Remember the daughter got killed because she tried to get away and she jumped out of the thing and she like landed on a spike fence. But she just punched over the spike fence.
The daughter survived from the first one to go to the second one, but she died in the second one.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I think that's what happened. Yeah, I haven't seen those in like over 30 years, but I remember those. I remember there's the one where it's there's like a gang, a neighborhood gang, and there's an old man that used to be a boxer. And he stands up to the gang leader and fucking jacks him. But then they, you know, of course they kill him because he's an old man and shit.
You got to get on those, it's on Netflix. They had these Danny Trejo movies called Badass. Have you seen those?
Uh-huh. Which one?
Have you seen them? It's called, the Danny Trejo movie called The Badass. It's kind of like a revenge movie. Where, like, you remember the old man on the bus that knocked the shit out of the black dude? And it was, like,
a video
that went viral?
Yeah.
And it kind of starts out like that, and then he gets, like, this rep for being this badass, and then, a friend of his gets killed or something, so he goes on revenge or something like that. It's a pretty good movie. They just came out with, a sequel to it. I've seen the first one on Netflix, and I think they just put up the second one. They're pretty good movies.
Oh, okay. So it's a new movie, just old school style?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I gotcha. Cool. So how much time do we have? I'm so distracted with this paper. We got what?
We can close it out if you want to.
Yeah, let me throw out the plugs. Everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So check out angrymarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Catrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. I want to thank the Uncle Mike and Tom show for allowing me to use the clips of the interviews that they did with me a few weeks ago that I put out last week since we really didn't do a show last week. So thanks to the Uncle Mike and Tom show. So check them out. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can follow me on Twitter at Couture35. I rarely tweet, but hey, have a go at it. Sign up to follow me. I think I have like less than 10 followers, so I don't care that much about it. You can go to youtube.com/prayer, and I got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there if you want to watch those. So there you go.
You know, I'm watching this match here, and like I mentioned, Tracy Smothers' daughter is wrestling. And apparently she's actually, like, retiring very soon. This is, like, one of her last matches or whatever.
She's
actually pretty damn good.
What's she go by?
Something Bella. I don't think she goes by Smothers. It's something, God damn it, why can't I think of the name right now? I got the same thing right here. She's like a redhead, and she's probably got more size than Tracy does. Not that she's like a fat girl or anything. She's just like a big boned or whatever. Jesse Bella Smothers is what she goes by.
I never even knew he had a daughter that was a wrestler till today.
Yeah, it's two of them. They were, you remember when we had Skidmarks on the show?
Had who on the show?
Skidmarks.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah,
you remember
no,
you how, like, yeah, he, and then, like, you remember on Tough Enough, he's had a Q calling his girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is his girlfriend.
Huh.
And then her and her sister were in Ohio Valley. I haven't heard much of the sister. I think the sister is, like, a bigger girl. But, yeah, I mean, this one, she's not, like, beautiful, but she's good-looking, tall. She's got, like, some size, like I say, size to her. She's not fat at all, but she's just, like I say, like a big bone girl. And she's, for her experience, she's actually really good. It's actually kind of a shame that she, you know, make a name for herself if she's stuck with it. But apparently she's done with wrestling in a couple months here.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah. But I guess we can go ahead and end the show. I was hoping I could call the tag title match here live, but it's probably not starting for a while. And anyway, that way I can
watch. Do you have any problems watching the SummerSlam feed?
It like paused for like a second here or there, but I didn't have no problems.
It just did that. It did about 5 minutes into the main event, it froze on me, so I had to stop, and you couldn't resume it. So I had to, like, fast forward to the whole thing again. But it got to, like, got back to where I was, and then I was able to, I didn't have any problems. That's the first time I've had any, that's the first time I've even had any kind of buffering issue of watching one of the pay-per-views since the network started.
You know what's funny is that reception on my phone. My phone never buffers. My phone never, I mean, it's perfect on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we can go ahead and we'll go ahead and wrap up the show already. So everybody come back next week. Hopefully Craig will be able to join us. And I don't have dates set to two people who said they are willing to do the show, one of which is going to be Major. But I'm not going to say who because he's got a busy schedule, but he says he's going to try and find sometime in September to do the show. So hopefully
somebody I heard of.
Yes, you'll be able to take part in this interview.
Okay.
And the other one, I'll go ahead and say Mia Yam has promised to do the show sometime in September, so that should be a good one. She's actually pretty good. I've listened to the interviews of her, and she's actually pretty good. But everybody, come back next week, and we'll talk to you then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Find out how good you are. You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up.
Oh, hands on her, hands on her, and Kay's door. Oh, Terry Funk has gone crazy. Watch with open eyes.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
It's time. You take it all away.
I'm going to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
Every day.
even get on top of my wife tonight.